Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see him.
Ah, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and today we are back in the book of Yirmiyahu, which is Jeremiah in the English. We are going to be starting in chapter 11 and proceeding from there. I have learned that I can't preconceive exactly how far we're going to get, because there's a lot of commentary that needs to be done in a lot of these chapters of prophecy, and it's just foolishness on my part. Say, I'm going to do 11, 12, and 13. Well, I may very well, but I may not. It depends on where the Spirit leads and what I have to say. Let's get right into it. These are all prophecies against Judah and Jerusalem, and all of Israel, and Yahweh's just basically hammering on all of them, because the dispersion and the destruction of the first temple is coming, and it's just not going to be real good for them. They've been sinning and worshiping false gods and following the pagan nations around them, and Yahweh's basically, at this point, just about had enough. He's going to put it on them. Let me get a hit of iced tea, and I will get right into this. I love this prophecy. It's so powerful. Oh, that's nice. Chapter 11, verse 1. The word that came to Yirmiyahu from Yahweh, saying, verse 2, hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Yehuda and to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Verse 3, and say to them, thus says Yahweh, Elohe Israel, that means the God of Israel, cursed, 779, is the man that hears, 8085, that has the connotations of hears and obeys, that hears not the words of this covenant. Verse 4, which I commanded your ancestors in the day I brought them forth from the land of Mitzrayim, from the furnace of iron. That's what it was called. It was hot and slave labor, and it was terrible. Saying, hear my voice and act, 6213, according to all that I command you, so you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. That's your divine being. Verse 5. For the sake of, or that I may perform, 6965, make to stand, in other words, the oath, 7621, that I have sworn, 7650, unto your ancestors, to give them a land flowing, 2100, with milk, 2461, and honey, 1706, as it is this day. And here Jeremiah answers him, and he says, then I answered and said, amen, Yahweh. That's 543, amen, and that means so be it. Verse 6, then said Yahweh unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. Verse 7. For I earnestly protested, that's 5749 doubled for emphatic usage, to your ancestors in the day I brought them up, 5927, from the land of Mitzrayim unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, hear my voice. Verse 8. Yet they heard not, nor inclined, 5186, their ear, 241, but walked every man in the stubbornness, 8307, of their evil, 7451, heart, 3820, Leb. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. Verse 9. And said Yahweh to me, a conspiracy, 7195, is found, 4672, among the men of Yehuda and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused, 3985, to hear my words, and they walked, that means followed after, you know, followed behind, walked after other Elohim to serve them. And the pagan gods, they went into paganism. The house of Israel and the house of Yehuda have broken, 6565, my covenant that I made or cut, 3772, with their ancestors. Verse 11. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, I will bring harm, 7451, that has multiple uses, to them, which they shall not be able to flee from, 3118. And though they shall cry out to me, I will not hearken to them, that's to hear them. They've gone too far. Verse 12, then shall the cities of Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry to 199 that they had made sacrificial smoke, 6999, that means burned incense to, made sacrificial smoke to, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their calamity. Of course, they're not going to save anybody. They're just pieces of wood and stones. They're worthless. Let me get a little iced tea here. Verse 13. Because as the number, 4557, of your cities, 5892, were Eloheka. That's 430. That means your gods, O Yehuda. And as the number of the streets, 2351, of Jerusalem, you have set up, 7760, altars, 4196, to shame, 1322, Bosheth, altars to make sacrificial smoke to Baal, 1168. So they had lots of places, so many places, just as many cities, they had all these gods, and as many streets, they had all these altars on these streets to Baal. And they were wondering why Yahweh was angry with them. Imagine that. Now, this is an instruction to Jeremiah. Verse 14. Therefore, do not pray, 6419, for this people. Neither lift up a cry or prayer, 8605, for them. For I will not hear in the time they cry to me for their calamity. verse 15. Pardon me for a minute. I got to clear my pipes. There we go. What, 4100, has my beloved, 3039, that's speaking of his people, to do in my house? That's Israel calling him my beloved. As she, using the feminine here for Jerusalem, has done, 6213, evil schemes for 209, Hamazimatha, with many, 7227, and the holy flesh has passed from upon you. In other words, you are defiled. You defiled your flesh. When you do evil, 7451, then, 227, you rejoice, 5937. Oh, man. They're doing evil and they're happy about it. Well, what do we got today? They're doing evil and they're happy about it. And we wonder why we're still in dispersion. Now, in verse 16 here, they had the word order in the King James all out of sync. I have corrected the word order here so it reads properly in the Hebrew. Verse 16, an olive tree, 2132, of green, 7488. Now that's a metaphor for Israel right there. Fair, 3303, of fruit, 5529, in aspect, 8389, has Yahweh called your name. With the sound of a great rainstorm, he has kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. Branches here is a metaphor for pure blood family lines. The branches are broken. The bloodline is no longer pure because they were doing race mixing. Verse 17. For Yahweh of hosts that planted you has pronounced evil or harm against you on account of the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Yehuda, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger by making sacrificial smoke to Baal. Ooh. Ooh. That's scary. That's scary today. Here's Jeremiah speaking. And Yahweh has made me to know, and I know it. Then you made me to see their deeds. Speaking of Yahweh, pointing out all these sins. Verse 19, but I was like a he lamb, docile, brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me. Let us ruin the tree with the food of it, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name is no more remembered. Speaking of the people, speaking about Yirmeyahu, they plotted to kill him. Verse 20. But Yahweh of hosts that judges righteously, that tries the kidneys and the heart, the inner organs, and the feelings, let me see your vengeance, 5360, upon them, for to you have I made known, 1540, my cause, 7379. He's telling him of what they're trying to do to him. Now, this is what the men of Anatoth, 6068, said. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of the men of Anatoth, that seek my life, saying, prophesy not in the name of Yahweh, so that you die not by our hand. In other words, if you're going to tell the truth, we're going to kill you. Sort of like today, isn't it? How many truthers have been murdered lately? Mysterious accidents and just plain up and disappeared, made to disappear by the enemy. Verse 22. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, I will visit punishment upon them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. Verse 23, and there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anatoth the year of their punishment. They're following the tradition of the elders at that time, just like they are now. And what he did then, he's probably going to do again. And again, I'm going to quote this verse. I do it so much. The people that have already written it down are sick of it. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, that tells what happens when Yeshua, Messiah, comes back. And those who have ears, hear. And those that don't want to hear, well, good luck to you. You're going to need it. Chapter 12, verse 1. This is Jeremiah speaking. Righteous are you, Yahweh, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you of litigation. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are all at ease that deal very treacherously? That's 898 and 899 together. We ask this question today now, don't we? How come all these evil people are so rich? That's a question that's been going around for a long time. Verse 2. You have planted them, yet they have taken root. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Evil fruit. You are near their mouth and far from their kidneys. Okay, the kidneys is affections here. They talk about you, but they don't love you, is what he's saying. Okay, their affections are not with Yahweh. Verse 3, but you, Yahweh, know me. You have seen me and tested my heart towards you. Drag them away, 5, 4, 2, 3, like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Well, we pray these prayers about the evil ones today. Verse 4. How long shall the land mourn and the grass of every field wither from the wickedness of those that dwell there? Snatched away, 5, 5, 9, 5, are the beast and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our latter ending. 3, 1, 9 is latter ending. And here's Yahweh speaking. Verse 5. If you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend, 8474, with horses? And if in the land of peace you trust, then how will you do in the majesty of the Yarden? That's Majesty is 1347. That's a luxuriant foliage of the Jordan River, up and down the sides of the river. Verse 6, because even your brothers and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Then his own family betrayed him. Yea, they have called a male four three nine two after you. That means full. And the best English translation here is a mob. In other words, they called a mob out after him, so they'd stone him. Believe them not, though they speak good unto you. In other words, they're lying to him. They're tricking him. They're deceiving him with their words. Verse 7. I have forsaken my house, that would be the temple. I have left my heritage, that would be Israel. I have given the dearly beloved, 3039, of my being, that again would be Israel, into the hand of her hated enemies as punishment. Yeah, that's what he did. Verse 8. My heritage is to me as a lion in the forest. And here, that is symbolic of the tribe of Yehuda, the lion of Judah. Okay. It gives voice against me, therefore have I hated it. The Judahites went the way of, pardon me, I have to cough. Ah, there we go. I'm sorry about that. That's just part of being old. Judah had gone the way of Shomeron, where Israel was, and they finally went into apostasy too. They had held out longer than the main body of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, but they finally knuckled under and went bad too. So all of this is preceding the invasion of Jerusalem and its destruction and the destruction of the first temple. Verse 9. My heritage to me is as a variegated, 6641, that means multicolored, bird of prey, 5861. The birds of prey all around are against her. Come, assemble all the living creatures of the field. Come to devour. In other words, they're going to bring everything around and just... they're going to destroy the city. Verse 10. Many shepherds, 7462, have destroyed, 7843, my vineyard, 3754. That's the rulers. They have trodden underfoot, 947, my portion, 2513, Kilakathi. That is Israel, his portion, his people. They have made my pleasant portion a devastated wilderness. And that's a figurative of Israel and Judah. They've ruined it with their apostasy. Verse 11, the rulers have. They have made it devastated, and devastated it mourns unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man puts it to mind. They don't think anything of it. They just go on living their lives and don't think about it. Verse 12. The spoilers are come upon all high places, 8205, through the wilderness. For the sword of Yahweh shall devour from the one end of the land to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. He's going to bring these enemy troops as a tool of punishment. They're not his chosen people. They're pagans, but he's going to use them as a tool. Verse 13, they have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have made themselves sick, that's 2470, and that's as strained themselves, but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of the produce of their lips because of the fierce anger of Yahweh. In other words, they ran their mouth, talking evil, and now they're going to pay the price of it. He's had enough. I mean, they talk and they talk and they talk. Well, what are they doing today? They speak against him. We've got all these foreign gods now, Allah and all that falseness. Well, I guess that's hate speech because I'm talking bad about the Muslims. But I really just don't care. They're false. Their religion is false. A prophet was false. It's false. There's only one God, and that's Yahweh, Holy One of Israel. Only one chosen people, and that's true Israel, not the Antichrist Zionist Jew. Verse 14. Thus says Yahweh, against all my evil neighbors that touch the inheritance that I have caused to inherit it, my people Israel, that shows we're his inheritance, behold, I will pluck them out, 5428, from upon their land and pluck out the house of Yehuda from among them. And it shall be, after I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them. In other words, and I will return them, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. He's going to put them in dispersion for a while. He's going to put them out as slaves under foreign rule. Until they repent, and they will for a time, and then there will be a second temple built by Koresh. And the first temple is going to be destroyed, and he's going to scatter them all over the place. They're going into captivity. He's going to give them a straightening up. He's going to whip them. Verse 16, and it shall be, if they diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, Yahweh lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be rebuilt in the midst of my people. Now he's speaking of the nations. They're going to carry Israel into captivity. And if they learn that Yahweh is the God of Israel, and they repent, he will let them rebuild their nation. He's not making them Israel, but he'll let them rebuild. Verse 17, but if they will not hear, I will pluck up that nation, pluck it up and destroy it, declares Yahweh. And that's going to be Babel. Koresh is going to come against Babel. That's Persia, is going to come against Babel. And they're going to wipe them out. And Babel's going to get crushed. But that's in a different book. We'll get to that. Right now is pre-destruction time. The temple is still standing and it hasn't been destroyed. Now let's get into chapter 13. See, I did get into chapter 13 today. Verse 1, thus says Yahweh to me, he's speaking to Jeremiah, go and get you a waist cloth, 232, of linen, 6593, and put it upon your loins, that's around the waist, 4975, and go not in water. Verse 2. So I got a waistcloth according to the word of Yahweh and put it on my loins. Verse 3. And the word of Yahweh came to me a second time, 8145, saying, verse 4, take the waistcloth that you have gotten, which is upon your loins, and arise, go to the Paratha, 6578, that is the Euphrates River, that's the formal spelling of it, and hide, 2934, it there in a cleft, 5357, of the cliffs, 5553. Verse 5. So I went and hid it by the Paroth, 6578, as commanded Yahweh to me. Verse 6. And it was after the end of many days that Yahweh said to me, arise, go to the Paratha, and take the waistcloth from there which you hid there. Which you went to hide there, pardon me. I had to add that. Verse 7. Then I went to the Paratha and dug 2658. And took the waistcloth from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the waistcloth was marred, 7843, and it was not profitable, 6743, for anything. In other words, it rotted. It was a rotten piece of cloth. Not a new piece. It had been out in the weather and whatever. And it just rotted away. Verse 8, then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, thus says Yahweh, after this way, 3602, will I mar, again, 7843, the pride, 1347, of Yehuda, and the great, 7227, pride of Jerusalem. In other words, he's going to make him, it's going to make it rot away. It's going to be nothing. It's going to be destroyed. Verse 10. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the stubbornness of their own mind, and walk after other Elohim to serve them, and to prostrate themselves to them, shall be as this waistcloth, which is good for nothing. Verse 11, for as the waistcloth cleaves, 1692, to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave to me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Yehuda, declares Yahweh, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise, 8416, and for a glory, 8597, but they would not hear. Verse 12. Therefore you shall speak unto them this word. Thus says Yahweh, Elohe Israel, that's a God of Israel. Every bottle, 5035, that's a skin wine bottle, shall be filled with wine. And they shall say to you, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Verse 13, then you shall say to them, thus says Yahweh, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, Even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests and the prophets and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. 7 9 4 3 14. And I will dash, 5 3 1 0, I will dash them one man against his brother, even the fathers and the sons together, declares Yahweh. I will not spare, 2 5 5 0, nor pity, 2 3 4 7, nor have compassion, 7 3 5 5, but destroy them, 7 8 4 3. He's going to make them fight among themselves to their own destruction. Verse 15. Hear and give ear. That means to listen closely. Be not proud. 1361. For Yahweh has spoken. This is Jeremiah speaking to him. Verse 16. Give glory to Yahweh Elohechem. Elohechem, pardon me. That's your God, before he causes darkness, 2 8 2 1, and before your feet stumble, 506 through the twilight, 5 3 9 9, of the mountains, and while you look for a light, he turns it into the shadow of death, 6 7 5 7, and makes it thick darkness, 6 2 0 5. Verse 17. But if you will not hear it, my being shall weep in secret places from the presence of your pride, and my eyes shall weep sore, that's 1830 doubled for emphatic, and put forth tears because carried away captive, 7 6 1 7, is the flock, 5 7 3 9, of Yahweh. Verse 18. Say to the king and queen, humble yourselves, 8 2 1 3, sit down, because from your heads, 4 7 6 1, shall come down the crown, 5950, of your glory, 8 5 9 7. They're so proud, well, they're going to have their crowns removed. Verse 19, the cities of the Negeb, 5045, that's the south desert region of Yehuda, okay? That's their south region. The cities of the Negeb shall be shut up, 5462, and none shall open them, 6605. Yehuda shall be carried away captive, 1540, all of it, it shall be holy, 7965, be carried away captive. Now, holy means all of it, shlomim. With the connotation of a peaceful going. Okay. Verse 20. Lift up your eyes and behold those that come from the north. That's where all these troops are going to come from. They're going to get seriously invaded. This is all coming to pass. They've been warned and warned and warned and warned. And now the invaders are en route. Where is the flock that was given you, your beautiful flock? Verse 21, what will you say when he shall visit punishment upon you? That's speaking of Yahweh. For you have taught them to be tame. They're speaking to the king and queen here. Where's your beautiful flock? In other words, all your people. You have taught them to be tame, as heads over you. Shall not pains, 2:2-5:6, take hold of you as a woman in childbirth? Verse 22, and if you say in your heart, wherefore happen these things to me? Because of the abundance of your iniquity are your skirts uncovered, and your heels suffer violence. That means rudely exposed. Verse 23, can the Cushy change his skin? All right, let's stop right here. At this point in time, Hebrew Cush was invaded by blacks. They were not of the people of Israel. It was a different land, and Moses ruled over them, but they were not Yahweh worshipers. They were of a different branch of the family. Well, now they're no longer pure and they're black. Can the Cushy change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to doing evil, if you changed your ways, in other words. A lot of time period had passed, and the racial demographics of the entire area was in process of changing. Lands that were once all white were no longer all white. Well, look at America. We were all white. Look at Great Britain. They were definitely all white. Now both nations are not. Look at Germany. Definitely all white. The Israelite nations have been invaded by a flood of non-Adamic people. Verse 24. Here's Yahweh speaking. Therefore will I scatter them as stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. Verse 25. This is your lot, 1486. The portion, 4490, of your measures, 4055, from me, declares Yahweh, because you have forgotten me and trusted, 982, in falsehood, 8267, that shaker as their idols, okay? Verse 26, therefore, I will strip off, 2834, your skirts over your face, so may be seen, 7200, your shame. That's 7036, Kolonek. He's going to pull their clothing up over their head and leave them butt naked. And shame. Verse 27. And the word order is corrected here in verse 27. Your adulteries, 5004, and your neighings, like lustful horses, 4684, on the hills, 1389, and in the fields, I have seen all these orgies that they used to have to the fertility gods. I have seen. Woe! 188 unto you, Jerusalem. Will you not be made clean? 2891 after once being clean? 2891. In other words, can I clean you up? Are you going to be clean after you were once clean? Why do you want to be unclean spiritually? Okay, that ends chapter 13. I don't have time to do chapter 14, I don't think. Let me look and see how long that is. Oh, no, that's a big long one. No, that's not going to happen today. I'll have to get to that on Tuesday. This nation was once clean. Great Britain was once clean. And we have allowed the Edomite pretenders in, and they have perverted all the religions. And now we have Judeo-Christianity. Ahem. Well, can we be cleansed again? Well, only when Yeshua Messiah returns. Look at the parallels between the city of Jerusalem then and what's going on in the world today. The people were into apostasy, even the priesthoods, the kings. During the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd, I showed you clearly how Israel and Yehuda went downhill. And they went downhill so much with Solomon. The kingdom was split apart during his son's reign. Because Solomon, the original wise king, had gotten into so much apostasy and was so foolish and so sinful that Yahweh says, I won't rip the kingdom away while you're still alive just because of your father, Dawid. Not David, Dawid. It's a waw, not a vav. The Jews have changed even the language. You can't trust Jewish pronunciations and writings. So for the sake of Dawid, he let Shlomo, Solomon, live out his days. But during his son's reign, he was so stupid, he says, I'm not going to lighten your burdens. I'm going to whip you with scorpions, which is like a cat of nine tails with metal bits woven into the end so it rips the flesh right off of you. And the people rebelled and said, we don't have any portion with you. You're not ruling the rest of Israel. You can have Jerusalem and Benjamin, but the rest of us are out of here. Well, they went over to Samaria. And the king was all upset, worrying about whether if they went to Jerusalem for the feasts and worshiped at the temple, that they might leave him and go back to being one nation. So he made two golden calves, Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and, oh boy, he was the worst of the worst. So in Scripture, they used him as the standard for evil. This one departed not from the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. In other words, he just kept on with all this pagan worship and worshiping idols, two golden calves. And it just slipped downhill from there. You'd have a good king occasionally, but they never went all the way. They never got rid of all the high places. They never got rid of the pagan worship. Some of the kings would make some reforms and then go back to a bad king. Well, we've had a series of real bad rulers here in America. Now, everybody's got their hopes up on Donald Trump. And he may be one of these good kings, okay? And he may make some improvements, but I guarantee you he's not going to go all the way. He may make some good changes and make us think that we can bail this out. We can't. America is done. I'm sorry, patriots. The America we knew is gone. It is destroyed. It is now completely under the thumb of the Edomites. Face that fact. Deal with it. It's unpleasant, but we can't lie to ourselves. That's the worst lie of all. You can't lie to Yahweh. He sees everything. We can lie to other people and we can put on a good front, but we need a good hard dose of reality check here. Quit trying to save America. Worry about saving your eternal soul and getting yourself right with Yahweh and Yeshua, because he's going to take every government on the planet down when Yeshua returns. Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. There's only going to be one ruler, and that is Yeshua as the eternal divine king. It's going to be under a theocracy. No more man-made government. No more man-made laws. And if you don't agree with that and you oppose him, he is going to kill you. Grace period and touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy are gone at that point. He's going to rule the nations of the planet, the whole planet, worldwide, one world government, known as the Kingdom of Yahweh. He's going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And anybody that opposes him is toast. So you better get on board. Oh, you're threatening. You bet your buppy I'm threatening. I hope I scare the pants off of you. You should be scared. You've got your mind wrapped around this short little existence we have in these bodies that break down. We're talking about your immortal soul, people. If you try to live in this world and gather all your rewards, that's your only reward. All the stuff is going to go to somebody else when you die. You're not taking it with you. You're not going to have it in the hereafter. If you are not one of Yahweh's, you're not going to have eternal life. You will be cast into the lake of fire. Well, that's harsh. You bet it's harsh. Yahweh is a God of love, but he also is a God of wrath and justice. I know the Judeo-Christians don't like to preach that. It hurts the collection plate. But there's going to be a lot of killing going on when Yeshua comes back, because he's coming back with the army of Yahweh, the host of heaven, the avenging angels, his mighty messengers. These are not little cute little things with little wings and, oh, they're so cute. These are going to be killer angels. Sodom and Gomorrah, fire and brimstone type angels. And that doesn't scare you? We are so puffed up in our arrogance as human beings, or as Adamic beings. I don't care about the non-Adamics. We try to put ourselves on a level with Yahweh. Ain't happening. He's Yahweh, we're not. And we need to humble ourselves before him and be in subjection to his will. Not our will, his will. He has given us free will and leeway so long, and look what we have done with it. We've made utter fools of ourselves time after time after time. And we're still doing that today. France is in flames again. And they're not allowed to do anything to those people. If I were a French cop, I'd just pull the pistol and just shoot a bunch of them. Bam, 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 bam. We'll watch that crowd scatter. This is what happens when you riot and burn our city. We shoot you. Send a clear message. But no, they are not going to do that. Not going to happen. So, they have to reap what comes with touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy liberalism. They have to live with their town being wrecked by these non-white rioters. Okay, that's how you want to run your country? Well, they're running our country like that too. Maybe Trump will change that. They need to use some rubber bullets and some real good heavy billy clubs and just beat these rioters down. Then if they throw rocks and bricks and Molotov cocktails, they need to shoot them. They need to take their life. They need to kill them. Oh, that's not very loving. Well, I don't love a rabid dog. I would put it down. We're not talking about Adamic people. We're not talking about Israelite people. We're talking about rioting, violent beast of the field. You got a good dog, you pet it and you feed it and you take care of it and it loves you back and it's a good dog. You get a real bad dog, you have to put it down. It's killing your chickens and attacking your children and biting the neighbors. It's got to go. Well, these are dogs we're talking about. They want to call them men, but they're not. They're beasts of the earth, the beasts of the field. So, someday, maybe some of the liberals will wise up and wake up, and some of the white men will get off their dead duff and take charge again. But until then, we're going to have to put up with all this nonsense. And I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think this is going to be the last presidency, folks. Be real honest. It's all coming down to the end. And I'm not sorry to see it go. The reign of Yeshua will be a blessing. We're going to have to go through 3 years, 3.5 years of tribulation. I think it's coming. I think we're right on the edge of it. I may be wrong. That's an opinion. That's not prophecy. That is my opinion and my opinion only, to which I am entitled. And this is my show, so I can voice my otherwise worthless opinion on my own show. I have a few perks, but the main thing is I love my brothers and sisters. In Israel, I want the best for them. I want to see as many come on board and come into the remnant as possible. That's the purpose of the show. I try to show analogies between then and now when possible, and it's becoming easier and easier and easier as current events progress here in this world. It's becoming downright unpleasant and dangerous out there. That is prophesied that will happen. Well, I'm coming down to about the 1 minute mark, so I will say Shalom Aleichem, and I'll talk to you tomorrow on Word for Word, beginning with chapter 14 of the book of Jeremiah. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.